Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuhu, and welcome to the Muslim Matters podcast. Like Tinder, but safer. Troubleshooting Arranged Muslim Marriage, written by Nawaz Ahmed. Like many people in my mid-20s, I approached my parents about getting married and initially chose to use a more traditional route, that is to say, creating resume or bio data and sending it to matchmaker aunties. I wanted this approach because I wanted to be able to balance my American, Desi, and Muslim identities. I wanted things to be done in a halal way with my parents' knowledge. However, over the past 2 years, my experience with the process has left me jaded. Before I continue, I want to preface with two things. The first is that my parents are wonderful. We've butted heads, but I recognize that they're doing what they think is best via a method that they're used to. Providing critical feedback of the method should not be taken as critical to my parents. The second is that while I have critical feedback, I'm not intending to discredit the entire process. Meeting people through family is hardly a bad thing, and maybe some people need it. It is very possible that I will still end up using this process. That said, there are changes that need to be made, especially in the modern world. I want to make sure that my younger brothers and sisters can get an idea of what the process is and what they're in store for. Superficiality. The biodatas that we send and receive are inherently superficial. They are, in total, the person's education or career, info about their parents and extended family, and pictures. There's nothing written about the person's personality, barring perhaps a few sentences about their interests. This doesn't provide any real depth of information about the other person at all. Then, there is the emphasis that is placed on the pictures. It is important to acknowledge that physical attraction plays a role in all of this. I think one of my early mistakes was that I was trying to pretend that it didn't matter at all, and that's not reasonable for a marriage. The problem, however, is that given the lack of personal detail in the written part of the biodata, we are left with the photo being the most personal piece of information presented. Unless you really care about where a person's great-grandfather went to university in the 1940s, that photo ends up being the most important thing you're making your choice on. It's like Tinder, but safer, a friend said to me, as I explained how these situations played out. That's not far off from how the experience has played out for me. We're not given much time to make a decision on the biodata, so the result is a superficial, un-Islamic swipe based on attractiveness alone. How many times have I heard, oh, she's too fat, or oh, she's too short, or too tall, or she's pretty dark, isn't she? Bengali speakers will recognize the word moila, or dirty, used to describe women who are slightly darker, which is terribly problematic. It's not just that women are being chosen based on their looks alone, but on top of that, they're being held to Eurocentric notions of what is deemed attractive. We're all being held hostage to a standard designed by and entirely for a different race of people. And I have been told that it would be weird for me to be attracted to a darker-skinned woman because in the minds of many, dark skin is undesirable. The superficiality is worse for women, but even as a guy, I felt it. I'm fine with how I look, but you can only hear, oh, your face looks weird in that picture, or he's not tall enough, so many times before it starts to mess with you. Men face another superficial judgment as well. The problem with men being reduced to their ability is moneymakers. I'm a graduate student, and there are people in my class who have a spouse and children and are making it just fine on the stipend that we receive. But inevitably, it will come up that I'm not making tons of money, so how can I support a family? While recognizing that men do have an Islamic responsibility to financially support their families, it troubles me that the process boils men down to one thing and one thing only, money. And not just having enough of it, but lots of it. Age. I'm relatively young, 27 in May. And so when I started this process 2 years ago, I told my parents that I was willing to go up or down 3 years just because I thought that would be a good range to encompass people I'd have some similarities with. However, my prospect of an older wife, even a day older, was rejected with quite some vigor. I've been disqualified from matching with some women because they were born just a couple of months before I was. The majority of the biodatas sent to me are of women still in college, between the ages of 19 and 22. It doesn't matter when I say that's too young, or how that I feel like I'd be taking advantage of someone who hasn't fully grown up yet. I get told that I'm wrong. Do you know how many random aunties and uncles have told me that a 7 to 8 year age gap is necessary to make a marriage work because otherwise the woman will, quote, demand too much? It's shocking that I'm being told specifically that I need a wife young enough to be manipulated and shaped to my desires. When I push back on this, I'm again told that I'm weird. I'm being constantly told to reconsider my age preferences, as if wanting to marry a woman in her mid-20s is a weird thing to do when I myself am in my mid-20s. The sheer number of times I face this makes me think it's an inherent flaw in how our cultures think, and not something unique to my situation. This is to say nothing of the fact that people will, to our face, tell me, at the age of 26, that I'm too young for marriage, but that my sister, at the age of 25, is rapidly passing her expiration date. Race. As a Bengali man, I have no problem marrying a woman of Bengali descent. But it's annoying that even in 2020, it's seen as taboo to marry outside of your race in a Desi culture. I personally have had it conceded to me that if I choose an Indian or Pakistani woman on my own, that might be okay, but nothing else. Not an Arab, certainly not someone with black or African descent, and a white or Hispanic or black convert would cause a genuine scandal. And even this concession is not universal, as there are many Bengali parents I know who will not let their child marry anyone outside of their own culture. Even when people have pushed through it and married outside of their ethnic backgrounds, there's still gossip and concern as to how the parents could, quote, let this happen. Going into this, I thought, well, all I have to do is show a few videos from imams talking about how interracial marriages shouldn't be taboo for Muslims. But it doesn't seem to matter how many of these clips I show, it falls on deaf ears. I understand the concern of losing culture and heritage to life in the West. I get it. But if I want to teach my kids about their Bengali roots, I can do that with a wife of any background. And if I don't want to teach them, having a Bengali wife isn't going to make me any more likely to do so. Ultimately, the feeling I get is that the older generation wants in-laws who they can go and have chai and gossip with to do traditional things they saw their parents do with their in-laws. And again, while I empathize with the desire to do something familiar, this seems like an unhealthy reason to dictate why your children can't marry someone from another race or culture. Classism. I understand that families need to mesh, and that it makes things easier if there are similarities that exist. However, in what world am I reading a biodata and seeing what a woman's uncle does for a living, and then deciding that she's marriage material? It doesn't work for me that way. But it works on the minds of the older generation, and there are even ways of working the class distinction to your advantage. Uncles in the community have actually told me that marrying into a, quote, lower class may be good if you want someone to be subservient to you because they're thankful that you brought them up to your status. But they've also told me that marrying a, quote, higher class woman isn't bad either, because a rich father-in-law could have its perks. Caveat: beware of them being snobby with you, since you may be expected to be the thankful, subservient one instead. I can't even wrap my head around what people are talking about here, but it's yet another factor that I end up having to deal with during this process. Religion. I want a wife who cares about the deen and prays 5 times a day, and I want this not to be a controversial take. I've been told that's unrealistic. Literally, a couple of weeks ago, an auntie told my sister that modern women do not pray regularly, and so I should not expect that in a future wife. She said this, of course, to my sister, who is both a modern woman and someone who prays 5 times a day without fail. It's crazy to be told that I'm being too picky because I want a wife who already has her religiousness established. I've been told by both aunties and uncles that it's better for me to marry a wife who isn't too religious yet, so that I can shape her deen. This isn't about mutual growth in faith, as you may hope for in a marriage. This is about controlling women with religion by only teaching her what I want to teach her. When older women tell you this, it raises so many concerns about what they've been through and what they want future generations of women to go through. When I tell people I want a religious wife, they seem to translate that as subservient to me, not Allah, and that scares me. I don't mean to fetishize anyone, but I want a wife whose religion drives her to be bold, to stand up for what's right, to be outspoken. I want to partner with someone whose religiosity pushes me to be a better version of myself, not for her to do what she's told. Marry back home. I don't think it's unreasonable for me, as someone who has lived their entire life in the U.S., to think that I'll mesh much better with someone with a similar background. This isn't universal. Some people will generally get along better with people from back home, and that's fine, but this needs to be a personal choice. Yet, I keep getting told that it would be better for me to marry from back home. I have been told straight up, if you bring a wife over here, she'll be more indebted to me because I brought her to America. Setting aside that I don't want to marry someone who just wants to marry me for a green card, why would I want to marry someone who feels like they owe me? I fail to see how marrying from back home is an issue of compatibility in this case. It feels way more like an issue of subservience. You can see here that the concern isn't about finding a spouse who matches with my personality. It's about finding someone who will come and cook and clean and bear children for me without speaking up about it because they feel like they owe me. Which then leads us to gender roles. I want to preface this section by saying this is the one topic where my parents haven't at all been the source of my concerns, but rather, this is something that comes up when talking to certain members of the community. For men, there is an emphasis on making money to provide for a family, and for women, raising children and taking care of the home. There's no problem with this model, but it's not the only model. It's a valid option, but I'm being told it's my only choice. In the eyes of many, the preference is to pick a homemaker. This seems at odds with the desire to select a woman with a good education, making it seem that I'm then not expected to let her utilize that education professionally. After all, it could be embarrassing for me if my wife makes more than me, and I've been told to be careful, because a wife who makes too much money could be, quote, too independent. I must also be careful to stay in my exclusive role as a moneymaker, too, and to not try to go beyond that. I had pictures with my nephews in my bio data because they mean the world to me. I was told to take them out because somehow a man taking care of children is deemed bad. I also like cooking. I once said this to an auntie and I remember her saying, "Why do you like doing girl stuff?" Quite bluntly, I don't want a wife who will only cook and clean and raise children for me. I want someone I can share those duties with because they're my equal partner. An idea that, to me, keeps getting glossed over in this process. Every couple deserves the opportunity to figure their marriage out for themselves. Quick marriages. There are limits to what we can and can't do as Muslims. I understand that we shouldn't have 3-year-long courtships or live together before getting married, and I'm not advocating that. But we should be allowed some time to make such an important decision. I've been shown biodatas and have been expected to come back with an answer in 2 days. Just 2 days. About whether the information on this piece of paper is the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with. Please, can we have a few months? Can we talk and try to make sure that this is the decision that we want to make, chaperoned? When reviewing potential spouses, try to make sure everyone is on the same page about how much time you give to each other in order to avoid heartbreak and confusion. The nature of relationship with parents. My parents and I have a pretty good relationship. It's relatively open and comfortable, but it's still a desi parent-child dynamic. Expressing a dissenting opinion is disrespectful, which means it can be harder to speak up without fear of disappointing them. Plus, my parents and I never openly spoke about sex or physical attraction, at least not in depth. To go from that to suddenly having to talk to your parents about the physical aspects that you're looking for in a wife is awkward and it can lead to miscommunication. It's a culture clash on top of a generational one. I have had a hard time articulating what I want to my parents, and it's not easy to figure out. If you know this before starting the process, you can make an effort to speak as openly about things as you can. You can even recruit an older cousin or friend or any mom you trust to help you. But don't do what I did and go by yourself. Have people to support you to make sure you and your parents are communicating well. In conclusion, it's not reasonable to expect that you'll get everything you want in a spouse. There will be compromises that are made, whether they be with yourself or with what your parents want. But don't sacrifice on the points most important to you. Determine those, know what your must-haves are, and negotiate on other things. Make sure your potential spouse is on board. It can be awkward, especially with how many of us are raised, but talk to your potential spouse about these important things. While this was a reflection of my own experience, I place emphasis on the aspects I feel are most universal. Speaking to other Desi Muslims in my age bracket, it certainly does seem that my concerns are relatively common. Obviously, there are individual factors that are at play, but these are the things that come up regularly when speaking to elders in the community. I also, again, want to stress that this isn't an attack on my parents. While I have a level of frustration with how this situation has played out, I recognize that this is what they're used to, and to their credit, they have made some concessions. Furthermore, it's not just parents who are playing a role in this. The often unwarranted voices of certain elders are given undue emphasis, and that, I think, has complicated the situation even further. Ultimately, I'm not telling people that they shouldn't consider arrangements or biodata. But if you do, then you must openly discuss this with your parents. Make sure they know what you want, and stand firm if it's something important, even if it complicates things. It may put a strain on your relationship with your parents, but it's better to open up about things now than to have anger and resentment towards them for years later. I'll end with a specific piece of advice to the brothers. You have a duty to learn about why these issues are red flags and to push back on them yourselves. Women can be labeled as too rebellious if they push back for themselves, and we need to be aware of this. Speak up for your sisters, your family members, and friends when you notice their discomfort. Make sure you establish with your potential spouse that she is actually on board with the process, not just going along with it because she feels that she needs to. It might be awkward, but it's important to establish a clear line of communication with someone even before you get married. May Allah bless us all with happy, healthy, and fruitful marriages. Ameen. Nawaz Ahmad is a PhD student researching genes involved in the development of autism spectrum disorders and a lifelong Dallas, Texas native. In his spare time, he seeks to broaden his appreciation and understanding of Islam and to do more to be a better ally for social justice. This piece, as well as thousands of other articles that have been published on Muslim Matters, are available for free and are provided as a service for the Ummah. To support our work, please visit us at muslimmatters.org/donate. For updates, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Muslim Matters. Jazakallahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.